Hi, Fire Juggler and Bessie. This is Lindsay. Sorry if my sound sounds weird. I'm holding my mic with a little, like, handle, which I've never done before. Normally I set it up on a table or something, and I'm recording in my room instead of, like, in my sound room, so the sound's probably gonna be crap. Anyways, I wanted to respond to Fire Juggler's email chain that you guys are both part of. But I know that if I try and write it, it's going to take me forever because I'm kind of scatterbrained lately. And I always have these conversations in my head or with one of my roommates in a spoken way first. So I figured, why not just say it out loud and send that off? So, first of all, I saw your post, Fire Juggler, about how you're leaving for a little while. And I hope that helps, because I know it sucks when you get burnt out from fandom. I tend to do it to myself more often than I want to admit. But that can be one of the unfortunate side effects when you run comms and things like that. You just get so invested, and it takes so much time and so much of your energy that you put all of that in there, and it can just be, I don't know, last year in November, I spent pretty much the entire month of November hiding under a blanket because I couldn't cope very well. And this year, like, I kind of had, like, almost complete breakdowns with combination of fandom stuff and work stuff and real life stuff. But yeah, that's can be one of the dangers when you're so invested and you care so much about something and you run a comm. So yeah. As for the actual, like, content of the thread, there are a couple things that I kind of wanted to touch on. Obviously, the accent bit is a big thing. One of the things that we had talked about, and by we I mean Greedy Dancer, Revolutionary Joe, and I, when we did the Pod-Aware podcast on accents, and I don't actually remember how much of it made the final cut. Because, yeah, everything's kind of blurred from that time period. Talking about getting invested in comms that you run. Anyway. But one of the things that we were talking about there is, like, that can make the situation in Harry Potter even worse is people in North America, specifically, like, Canada and the U.S., have this, like, almost fetish for British accents. So the fact that it's canon that they're British, it just gives people an excuse to, like, demand British accents. But there's a lot of people out there that, like, just fetishize that, like, and not just British, like, you know, all of the UK, like, Irish, as you mentioned, or, like, Scottish or whatever. We just kind of fetishize it, where we just are told all the time and come to believe that it's such a sexy accent. And, you know, I'll admit I'm guilty of that myself, but that just makes it so much harder when you're in a fandom where that's the canon, like, the canon is that accent. But I will also say, like, that I've also seen a lot of accent talk going the other way in Supernatural fandom, where people are like, oh, I can't stand it when someone who's not American reads them. And I don't know, I haven't seen as many lately, but for a while there seemed to be quite a few. I think maybe Supernatural is getting over itself a little bit. One can hope. Maybe it's just that I haven't had time to search for these conversations as much, so that could be part of it too. But which just kind of makes me think, like, some of the stuff that you were talking about, like, I mean, obviously you're feeling it really strongly in Harry Potter fandom, but the stuff that you complained about, none of it's really isolated to Harry Potter fandom. People are whiny bitches in fandom sometimes. Like, they can be super awesome and amazing, but there's also whiny bitches. And you also, like, you just get the whole run of, like, people who don't understand podfic and just go and act like they do, or make assumptions that can end up being like a little hurtful. Like, I've had authors that kind of treated the podfic that I make of their work as though it's like a personal present I made for them, and they kind of forget that no, it's something I made and it belongs to me, or that they forget that, you know, there are other people in the audience other than them. Or I had a specific point when I went here. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm such a scatterbrained, and I know I'm not going to edit this before sending it, so you're just going to get me kind of rambling and wandering off. What were some of the other things? Accents. Oh, and just how you were talking about how they were being, I forget the actual word that you used. And I'm looking it up, so I'm going to pause for a second. But just kind of like the entitlement that, like, yeah, you didn't actually use a specific word. Anyways, just like the kind of entitlement that authors have, or how they want like the perfect person to read their podfic. I think there's two reasons for that. One, just that people, like, as much time as we put into our podfics, the authors probably put that much time into their work, and they often want it to be perfect. Like, they don't want someone to do a derivative work of their stuff and then have it turn out not to be something that they like, which is understandable. And part of the reason that feeling is so much stronger is point number two, of that a lot of people, especially if they're not in podfic fandom, they just don't know about repotting. And that, you know, just because you give one person permission to podfic something doesn't mean it's going to be the one and only podfic of it. And, you know, a lot of the times it will be the one and only podfic of it, but other times there'll be more than one copy. So if you go and are being really restrictive about what you can go and who can podfic your stuff, honestly, I think they're just kind of biting themselves in their ass if they actually want people to podfic their stuff. Because even if I fit someone's really tight criteria of who they'll let podfic their stuff, I know when I see demands like that, I'm just kind of like, oh, fuck no, I'll go find someone who likes it better. Which, this is totally a side tangent, but I know I've mentioned it to you once or twice before. About how you being Fire Juggler, about how you went and kind of really changed my opinions on blanket permission. And I told you one day I would explain why, and it kind of fits here, so I guess I will say it now. But when you first put out your call for Harry Potter podfic friendly authors, I actually had kind of a bad reaction to it. Because a little of my neuroses background is I've been like pushing and pushing and pushing for podfic for almost 2 full years now, where like just almost all of my fanish energy has gone into podfic. And I was doing it in a bubble of isolation for a large part of that. Twitter kind of helped me break out of that, and certainly all of the people that I became friends with through Potterware has like destroyed that bubble of isolation, which is good. It deserved to be destroyed, but I don't know. I just kind of had like this. I felt so much of the weight of podfic fandom on my own shoulders, and because I wasn't really talking to other people who felt as much as I did, who were involved as much as I did, I don't know. I kind of just stuck my nose everywhere. And so when you went and made your post, and I saw that you were asking not just for blanket permission, but I think you were calling it like limited permission on your post, whatever, the thing that wasn't complete blanket permission, I kind of was like, but why would you ask that? That's not blanket permission. This isn't going to be useful for my blanket permission list. I can't put these names on it. And I was kind of like, why would you do this? And then I think I talked to Cantarina about it, and I realized that like I was being kind of arrogant on behalf of like Podfickers as a whole that like, oh my god, only authors only get the recognition of like for being pro Podfic if they're willing to hand over all control and give blanket permission. That's insane. So like that whole discussion and process that I kind of went through because of your post really helped open my eyes and realize that I was kind of being a bit of a spoiled brat. So that's awesome. And I'm really glad you did it. But part of the reason too that I was having some bad reactions, which is not on anything to do with you now, but was just some of the responses that I saw authors writing down. Like, I know I left you a comment where I was like hesitant about people who were like, I want to listen first, because to me it was kind of implying a bit that they wanted to listen to your podfic before they gave you permission to post it, which, yeah, I know that's probably that's not what you meant when you went and wrote that as an example. But if I kind of was having those thoughts, I kind of feared that authors who know nothing about podfic would assume that that's what it meant. And they're like, oh, well, other people are doing it, I'll do it too. So that's why I made the comment to you. And I'm really glad that you were like happy to change it. Because I think that can be a really dangerous idea when an author's like, no, I'm not going to give permission until you've proven that you're good enough. Because fuck that noise. Like, just full stop, fuck that noise. But the other thing that kind of had me thinking when I was looking through that list is that I kind of wanted, and I've been meaning to, and I kind of planned on doing it for Pottaware, but it never happened. Of writing like some sort of meta of like, so author who is interested in podfic or having podfic done of your works, here are some things, some do's and don'ts of expressing that. Because I think there were a lot of things that in your blanket permission list that people were posting as like, you know, as limitations, like only a British reader can do it. Or even they weren't saying that out. Like, I think there was one person who's like, well, if someone who isn't British wants to read it, I'm not going to say no, but I really want a British reader to read my stuff. Like, if you're an author who's putting that down, especially if it isn't a hard line for you, it's like this wish that you would like that to happen, but oh my god, any podfic would be cool. I just kind of wanted to shake them and be like, don't say that then. Because when you're writing blanket permission or like these permission things in general, or just like this awareness, that's a lot of podfickers when they see those permissions. And I'm so totally off topic of my original intention of doing this, but I'm going to finish. sorry, I wander. But like when a podficker comes across these lists, a lot of the time, they're not going to interact with the author until everything's said and done. So if they see like a blanket permission name on the list, but the permission has like caveats and things that are just kind of not normal on it, like, I'll be honest, that can scare me away. It's like, yay that you've put yourself on the blanket permission list, but also, I don't think you know what it is to podfic, so less yay. And yeah, I just kind of felt like a lot of the authors with the things that they were asking for, the demands that they were making, I kind of get the impression that they probably weren't hard lines. They were just kind of making like a wish list as opposed to like bare minimums you must meet list. But podficers look at those requests or these statements and they see it as the bare minimum, and it can depress them or it can like scare them off of, I don't think I want to work with this author. So I think some things that can help get rid of these like bad experiences that you're talking about in Harry Potter fandom, but I'll admit I've seen in other fandoms too, is I think it helps when podfic fandom stops being so insular, because it is a pretty insular fandom, or like meta fandom, if you want to call it higher level fan art fandom, whatever. I'm just going to call it a fandom. Because we're pretty insular. Like, and if it wasn't for the fact that we had to get authors involved because of the very nature of our fan art, I could see it being like even more insular than it is now. Like some of the other various fan arts out there. So I kind of feel like Podtrick fandom as a whole needs to get out there more and like spread awareness, which is what brought on PodAware, of like just to try and get this information out of our sphere and into other people's. But I think I think that onus is on podfickers, because authors don't know, or people outside of Podfic fandom, they don't know because it's not their fandom. It's not what they do. So we need to like coach them. But all that said, that's tiring. Oh my God. Cause I do it a lot. So I know that it's tiring. And yeah, it sounds like really the best thing for you right now is to just take a break from Harry Potter fandom. And especially there's other fandoms that outreach has already happened with more. Like you mentioned Supernatural. Stargate Atlantis is another one that has a lot of the outreach is already done. American Idol, actually, like, I don't know. It's really good for podfic. I've never had anyone be like, what's podfic? I have had one bad experience, but it was with someone who just like was excited about podfic but didn't really understand it, and she was open to like, when I confronted her, she was like really good about it. Anyways, sidetrack again. You get to hear like the complete rambliness of my brain. Aren't you happy? I have notes. I'm consulting them right now. The other thing that I just want to... Okay, there's two more things on my list. One of them is more related, but I'm going to jump back to the other one. Just the bit that you were talking about a bit about, like, backwards compliments. Where, like, the way that they'll be like, oh, she's a good podficker, even though she's American. I don't know. I think that's something fandom is filled with in general, because we're taught so much that like fandom just has such a cult of nice where you can only say nice things. So even when people have like not nice things that they say, they like that they want to say, they like just kind of wrap it up in things that make it sound nice. So then they can say the not nice things. And because that happens enough, even people who don't necessarily have not nice things that they need to get out, they see it happening enough that they think it's socially acceptable that any thought that comes to their head just comes out. So I think, yeah, backwards compliments suck. And people just don't think things through a lot. And when they don't understand what they're talking about, it's worse. Like, I've been in some podfic battles over shit like this. Bejeweled is the biggest one that comes to mind. And I mention her a lot. Because she was just epic in her confusedness. Train of thought gone. Shit, I really should edit this. Still probably won't. Backwards compliments. Okay, that's all I got to say on backwards compliments. And just kind of related to that, fandom talks a lot about inclusion, but the way that we deal with fan works is kind of on an exclusory basis. Where there's just so much fandom, for the most part, like, most fandoms that, like, are not tiny, like, one-off fandoms that maybe have five fics in them. Most fandoms, certainly large ones like Harry Potter
especially large ones like Harry Potter, people navigate their way through them using exclusion to get them through. Whereas, like, you know, if you go out there and be like, I'm going to read all the Harry Potter fics, ha 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 ha, good luck, do you have 9 lives? And possibly more than that. Because there's so much out there that you can't read it all. So you have to have these, like, rules that can, like, cut out large chunks of it. That's when you get people being like, well, this is my ship. Because if you ship Harry Flubberworm, that greatly reduces all of the fic out there. It does exist, I know this. But, you know, there's not that many. But, so you go and you cut it down by, like, which pairings or where you read it. Like, if you're someone who reads on LiveJournal, you're less likely to be also hitting up, like, fanfiction.net, for example. Or vice versa. My sister is a fanfiction.net person. She doesn't ever really touch LiveJournal. She seems happy there. Don't know how, but I'll leave her to it. And then you just, when even when you're in your own space, you start coming up with more and more rules of like, well, this one, the Brit picking is bad. I'm gonna get rid of it because it's not British enough. Or this one is about werewolves and I hate that. So I'm just gonna go over here to the Empreg, which I do love. Most people, those would probably be reversed. Anyways, they were what came to mind. And this is all a very long explanation to be that it can be hard for people to let those go when they're changing mediums. And Harry Potter as a fandom, there's not very many things that they don't have an abundance of when it comes to fan art. Like, I mean, for a Western fandom, they have so much visual art. And I use Western fandom really loosely, just mostly because that's where the source comes from. I recognize there's a lot of crossovers with Eastern fandoms. Anyways, there's a lot of visual art. There's a lot of fan vids. There's a lot of things that, you know, other fandoms might be struggling for. They have it. And so that idea of exclusiveness when they're going after things that they want to listen to, it applies beyond fic. It applies to the people that they interact with. It applies to the fan art. And so when it comes to podfic, they just don't think to question it. And podfic has been, because it struggled so much in its beginning to, like, take off, and because that beginning wasn't that long ago, like, less than 10 years ago, closer to, like, 6 or 7 years ago that it really started taking off, we still have a lot of the cult of nice and the, like, be thankful for what you get built into podfic fandom. There's not as many people speaking out against podfic within the community or being critical of it. Like, when podfic meta first opened up, there was all this criticalness and there was this giant backlash within the podfic fandom of, like, people just not being able to handle that people were saying critical things about their podfic. So I think there's probably going to be some flip-flopping on that in the next however long within the podfic fandom culture, just because we start off being grateful for everything, then we got a little critical of things and people started freaking out, so we went back to being really nice. I think there's probably going to be a move coming up soonish where people are going to get a little critical again, just because that's the natural wave of things until you hit, like, a nice medium where you can be critical and you could be supportive at the same time. Although that's something fandom in general struggles with. So listen to me ramble. Points. So I'm not going to make final points because I don't remember why I started talking about that shit. I hope you're enjoying this. 25 minutes in. The last thing kind of that I'm going to say before I stop for realsies is kind of back to what I was saying
bit at the beginning about how, like, I really understand how you feel being tired because you ran a column, because I feel like that when I run my columns. I also really kind of get the exhaustion that can come when you're trying to make waves in your own fandom. Like, I got into American Idol fandom when there was, I think there was about 30 hours of American Idol podfic. Now we're at over 200 hours. And when I got in there, like, KLB had done a lot of podfic, but then she left. Like, she was already in fandom when I joined. And, like, Rhea314 had moved on. And there had been, like, all the people that had done podfic and American Idol fandom seemed to be off doing other things. So I'm like, well, I'll start making podfic. Maybe other people will start making podfic. And I made a lot of podfic. And no one else did, it seemed. I don't really remember if, I don't think anyone really did until Diane McKay came along. And, like, I even at one point, like, put, I made a statement going, I will bribe people to make podfic. If you make a podfic, I will give you something of your choosing. And I had, like, one person take me up on that. And another person just happened to make podfic. And I, like, gave her something anyways. And I think all of the work, like, obviously the work that I did to promote it helped. And Diane McKay, who is a podficking machine, did so much to help get American Idol podfic fandom where it is today. To the point where, like, I think it helped that we just hit, like, a critical mass of podfic made. That all of these people who, like, there's all of these podfickers that are like, I'm not in American Idol fandom, but I listen to the podfic for it, which can then morph into I'm reading the fic for it, which I hope is working on you right now. That, like, you know, but it's just, it was a struggle the entire way to get podfic in American Idol fandom, especially podfic that wasn't done by me, because there's only so much you want to listen to your own voice. And I'm not that fast of a podficker, and I run all of these comms, so I don't even have that much, like, a lot of my fanish time is devoted towards making other people make podfic. So, yeah. So I totally empathize with, like, how much work you're putting into getting Harry Potter podfic, and just how hard that can be. And luckily, Harry Potter is a fandom that a lot of people are familiar with or were once a part of. And, like, I just know that, like, you know, your Harry Potter fest that you just ran, if I tried to run that for American Idol, I maybe now I would get a couple bites, but I would maybe get 5 people that signed up if I, like, called in personal favors. So, like, at least that's there. But I also totally get your fear of putting baby podfickers in there. At least I don't have that fear with American Idol fandom. Especially since American Idol fandom's, like, a little more tight-knit, so you can just go get by asking your friends or a friend of a friend, and most authors in American Idol fandom are at least a friend of a friend of a friend, so if you're not too much of a lurker. Anyways, tangents again. So, these are my tangential thoughts on the email that you sent. I hope I didn't bore you too much. Yay for half an hour of me rambling. Anyways, I hope you're able to, like, get back into your fanish love and come back. And yeah, we'll be waiting for you with pom-poms to cheer you on. Good luck.